The Around the NFL Podcast is better than the coaches' show.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Finally, intro I can get behind. That was my favorite one yet, TD.
There was nothing subtle about that shot across the bow.
I think
bow
I
the
came up with
show.
That one, actually.
It was vindictive enough to please Greg.
I have a 6 in the morning interview with Brian Billick tomorrow.
Well, he's not going to listen to this.
Well, don't mention that's for that. Sure. And so we got the four of us in the studio, and we talked about how we got the fifth mic. We got it for a good reason. To my left, she's the host of Around the NFL, the television edition, which is important. She's the face of the top 100 players of 2015 countdown and 2014 and 2013. She's also a Los Angeles area Emmy Award winner for Best Sports Feature, The Michael Rivas Story, 2005. Who said I don't do research? Lindsay Rhodes.
Wow. Straight from Wikipedia, folks. Always accurate.
Where do you keep your Emmy?
My Emmys are in my closet.
Oh, Emmys.
Wow, you got more than one.
Subtle correction.
Very humble.
That was good. Lindsay, welcome back to the Around the NFL Podcast. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I can't possibly begin to describe it.
Oh, well, snap. I got to document this.
We were trying to figure this out yesterday, what Lindsay means to the top 100 countdown, which is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
9
p.m. Eastern time. That wasn't in Wikipedia. That's why I didn't know. Lindsay hosts the show along with some other talented people.
LeVar Arrington, Eric Davis.
Yes, counting it down. We're now through the first 20. So Lindsay is going to join us and talk about the top 100. And we were trying to figure out downstairs yesterday what Lindsay means to that show. You know, is it the Bob Costas of the NBC Olympic coverage?
I went Bob Costas, and you guys, these guys can't stand Bob
Costas.
I was
saying she's more of a.
I love Bob Costas.
She's kind of a mix between Joe Lunardi and Dick Vitale of college basketball, because she's the face of it, like Dick Vitale, but she's also kind of a bracketologist. You're always figuring out who's left on the list. You're into it.
I am. I've been told to tone down the nerdiness.
You could be as nerdy as you want here.
Yeah.
Well, just being here is nerdy. This is an off day for you. You got a babysitter to come in here.
Ow!
I did.
That's pretty impressive.
How about the Joan Holloway?
You guys are worth it.
These guys wouldn't do that.
Mark.
I don't have babies to sit.
How about Lindsay is the Joan Holloway of the office of Sterling, Draper, Cooper, and Price? Is that taking it too far?
That you could read into that in a number of different ways.
That's true.
Yeah, you might have taken
it
too far.
I would maybe have not preferred that analogy for obvious reasons.
We'll stick with Dick Vitale then.
Let's switch gears for a minute.
Yeah.
Last time Lindsay was on, remember Dan was trying to come up with a nickname for himself?
Yes.
We've got one.
Oh, what is it?
He is Daddy Rich.
All right, let's give her the option.
Daddy Rich.
Lindsay will settle it right
now.
Okay. The old Zeuser.
The old Zeus.
Which I'm not saying I love. It's just something that has come out a few times kind of naturally.
Originally from yourself.
Yeah. Third person.
Oh, then it can't be.
The old Zeuser.
It's like Kobe and Black Mamba.
But no, it wasn't. See, whereas Black Mamba and Kobe was a very calculated move, probably to move units of sneakers or something. It just old Zeuser just came out.
Yeah, all right.
On your part, not calculated.
If it came out of your mouth, I'm afraid I have to vote against it.
And then the other option is Daddy Rich.
I vote for Daddy Rich.
All right.
There it is. It's settled.
Daddy Rich.
All right, we can go now. That's
I'm
it.
I'm not seeing a lot of excitement in the room.
Mark?
I'm sad that you spoke old Zeuser yourself, because you could get old. I mean, that would fit you for many years. Daddy Rich.
Yeah, Daddy
Rich. I know Dan out of work, and Daddy Rich doesn't really resonate with what I'm seeing with Dan and Jim.
This whole thing is fabricated nonsense. I mean, he chose
what?
First of all, you knew she'd choose Daddy Rich.
No, so I didn't.
It was a sign to me that you like this Daddy Rich. You've embraced this since Wes first brought
Lindsay.
It up. You knew it was this whole thing was rigged.
Did I know what you were going to choose?
Well,
it's logical.
No one would pick
the old Zeuser if they were alive.
the thing that swayed me was the fact that you nicknamed yourself the old Zeuser, because that's illegal.
It also reminds me of an old cat who's a mouser. You know, they call a cat a mouser because it chases mice.
Wes, having all been born after the 1880s, none of us know what you're talking about.
What the hell's going on? Yeah, we're well off the track.
All right, here we go. So big show today with Lindsay joining us. We are going to get into the top 100. As I said earlier, we're also going to break out, you know, one of the real rising games within the Around the NFL podcast sphere. What's your fancy, but, you know, better known as, Mark?
Qual es tu fantasia?
Well, I like that.
Not quite right. Qual es tu fantasia?
Oh, well, we come from different areas of that region. We have different dialects.
One of you That's is true. From Seville.
And by the way, I made the mistake today at work in the office of doing a Twitter search of Qual es tu fantasia. And I could have been fired if anyone was looking at my screen. Who would have known?
Oh, wow.
It got adult real quick.
At our work, whenever you do anything untoward on the internet, not usually it's...
A referee,
you know,
pops up.
Right, a ref, and he's blowing a whistle. Stop, get back to work. And that didn't happen here.
No, Twitter, it was the wild, wild west. But before we get into those things, we're going to check behind the glass. TD, already on fire. He's got five mics. They seem to be all working. What a producer.
What's going on, guys? And Greg, I know you love the open intro.
Yeah.
I know you love that. But just remember that at end of each show, like I did last show, I'm going to give out the podcaster of the show.
Oh, fine. We're still doing that? I'm not worried about that.
Yes, we're still doing that, yeah. People well, seem to like it.
You know what?
Well, we're definitely better than the coaches, though, because we exist. You know, they go into hibernation for 6 months, and maybe or maybe not they come
well,
back in September.
Well, that's how the big boys do it, you know? They take a little off-season, take a little break.
You could say the same thing for Jeremiah. Everybody just, like, shutting it down, and then they come back and hope no one notices. But people notice.
That hibernation brings their average show length down to 3.5 minutes.
Speaking about your new nickname, we once had a producer called Crystal Rich, short for K Rich. Mm. That could have been really awkward, you know, Daddy Rich.
Daddy Rich, K Rich.
Oh,
that's true.
That's
but
a good
she's
point.
Gone. She's gone now.
I don't find that odd at all. All right, let's do some news.
Click that for your Emmy reel.
What?
Whoa, what was that from?
Poor Lindsay.
I don't even know where that's from.
Where are you getting this stuff?
For your Emmy reel.
No, it doesn't need to happen again.
What?
Oh, that's a keeper, TD. We got to use that. Whether Lindsay's on the show or not, that should be in the
rotation. I was doing a
show
open. My man behind the glass here with me, Brandon, found this on YouTube. It's a show open.
On YouTube?
Total Access, yes.
You're all over the internet.
That's in the regular rotation.
I do remember that.
Click that.
Okay.
Third time.
We've heard it enough.
All right, just real quick, though. Show of hands. Who in here has an Emmy Award?
You know, by the way, a show of hands doesn't work in an audio podcast.
You said in here. You're behind
well, in
glass.
The whole show.
Oh, you just raised your hand?
Let the record show he was raising his hand.
Yeah. TD, that's highly unbecoming of you. Can we please do some news? Congratulations on your award.
Wow. Write that
Barry
down.
Horowitz.
Are you allowed to do that on a podcast?
It will get beeped. 239.
Well,
we hope
remember.
It'll get beeped.
He's going to get me fired. Here we go.
Dan's
let's get into
be
it.
Here tomorrow.
Let's get to it, starting with we know the Ted Wells report is out, and Ted Wells in a fiery manner, hit out against the Patriots and Tom Brady's agents, saying anybody that would question me and my integrity is off. Well, the Patriots doubled down, and on Thursday released on a website, they basically launched a whole website, thewellsreportcontext.com, nearly 20,000 words of rebuttal to Wells' report. Which basically, you know, we all knew the Patriots and Tom Brady's camp are unhappy now. Here it is. These are all the reasons why we think the Wells report is crap, basically. And this is why you find out hours later that Tom Brady formally appeals his 4-game suspension. Greg, we'll start with you. We said it felt like we were heading towards lawyering up and potentially a real battle. It looks like here it is.
It's here and it's disappointing. It reminded me as I was going through it and I read most of it and I did the post for the site. It started to remind me of the lockout, that no one looks good. Everyone is a loser. So if you're coming up with winners and losers, the NFL is a loser. The Patriots are losers. Tom Brady's a loser. We're losers because we have to cover this. The network's a loser, you know, because they have to cover it all day. It's kind of at that point. That's my takeaway from it.
Lindsay, your thoughts?
I don't even know where to start because I have so many thoughts about it. The rebuttal, and full disclosure, I haven't finished reading it. I don't even know how far
you're not alone.
I am because it doesn't have pages, so I'm just scrolling down, and it appears that I'm about 3/4 of the way through it. But some of it, I think, insults my intelligence. And some of it is kind of plausible. And I wish that they had just stuck to the points that were plausible.
Right.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
so that, you know, give me a reason to believe that this happened a different way. And there are some parts of it where I read that and I say, okay, maybe it could have gone down like that. And that does raise an interesting point. How would he have, you know, laid all the balls out in the bathroom in a minute and 40 seconds and deflated them, but not deflated them too much and never deflated the same ball twice? I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot. They made some good points, is my point. But then there were other elements of it where I was like, that is so absurd. I'm embarrassed for you for suggesting that.
Well, they messed up, obviously, in my opinion, because what Lindsay's saying is true. Like, they went after some things that were maybe hazy in that report, but then they threw in things that became, like, the focal point for a lot of people, such as the reference to McNally being the deflator, not having anything to do with deflating footballs, but that McNally, and this is the wording on this website, was a, quote, big fellow and was trying to lose weight. Also, the wording that McNally saying he was going to go to ESPN, that was explained away as being it had nothing to do with him telling them, coming clean about the deflation of the balls. It was about the sneakers and his boss maybe not being happy that these things were going on behind the boss's back, handing out sneakers and other apparel. So that's what it seems like the media grabbed onto.
Well, I think that's a good point. 20,000 words, and they should have known that the media would sensationalize or make silly their silly points. I mean, it's of course the media is going to do that, but then you lose track of good points, like why were people in the NFL office going along with ESPN's reports that the balls were initially 2 PSI below the limit when in fact they were just a fraction below the limit, and that drove the hysteria of the story from the beginning?
Well, because it raised the question, would have the Wells report even been commissioned if the ESPN report, which has been proven, you know, conclusively to be way off, is a bad day for them and Chris Mortensen. It would the Wells report even have existed if that initial report didn't come out? Probably not, because that was really the kickstart to everything going on that weekend.
Well, I have one question. So if the Patriots say that, listen, this is all squeaky clean, and we are going to send out a on-the-road Jack Kerouac-like scroll on WordPress to bombard you with, why did they punish the two ball boy guys? And I say guys because they're in their 30s and 40s. Everyone thinks of them as 17 and 18-year-olds. They're actually grown men, one of them with a weight issue, apparently.
They texted each other OMG. So
there are questions.
I mean, that's one of my biggest problems with the evidence that was set before me, was that you have grown men responding to text messages.
Were there emojis?
Let's get into that. By the way, Titty, can I get a little music, just because it feels like this type of music these guys listen to? Mark and I were going to read a text exchange between Jim McNally and John Jastrzemski. What's up, Dorito Dink?
Nada.
When's the Pong Party? I'm on fire.
OMG.
Bring it. You still with your women?
Yep.
You must have her omitted out of respect to Mrs. Jastrzemski. You must have a picture of her omitted out of respect to Mrs. Jastrzemski.
OMG.
You working?
Yep.
Nice, dude. Jimmy needs some kicks. Let's make a deal. Come on. Help the deflator.
Who's trying to lose weight?
Yeah. Because I'm fat.
I think Lindsay hit it on the head, because my first reaction was watching Twitter explode over, as you said, certain silly points in it.
Right, I haven't even gotten to that. I mean, I'm assuming most everyone in this room and pretty much everyone talking about TV hasn't read the 20,000 words.
If you strip that stuff out and you just responded in a very serious manner to the many points you could have made, you solve yourself the trouble, and people might see this whole thing as... I think we're at a point of frustration because it all seems so silly along with everything else.
Of course. And I think they went with a kind of legal strategy, which was the kitchen sink, which is that you just tried to refute all 87 points that the Wells report made, whether you had a good argument for it or not, instead of just focusing on the stuff that was interesting, including the gauges, which I didn't really understand too much ahead of time, but that was the first 5,000 words were about how the two different gauges had different measurements, and the case that they made that it was misleading, that the way the Wells report presented information was a very strong case, and pointed a finger at Walt Anderson and how the NFL handled things. And I think as I'm reading this, what I thought was the Patriots bending the rules or cheating, whatever you want to call it, and the NFL doing a poor job handling it and punishing them incorrectly, that they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, they both can be completely true.
See, I read the Gages part, though, and I found much of the Gages argument to be comical. I thought that they were asking us to believe a lot of things that just a logical person would jump to the same conclusion that the Wells report did. And to, like, yes, there were two Gages that were used at halftime, and whether it was or was not the same Gage that was used in the pregame, they did two separate measurements of each ball for both the Patriots and the Colts, the four Colts balls that they measured at halftime. And what they don't get into or what they don't address is that the point here is that the difference in drop off was so much greater for the Patriots balls than it was for the Colts. So then I don't even understand why they would go to the ideal gas law, because you would seem to think that that would also impact the Colts balls.
I mean, a lot of it is really scientific stuff that we're not and legal stuff that we're not going to understand. The ideal gas law. I mean, they have a guy who's won the Nobel laureate explaining why he thinks the atmospheric conditions could completely explain what happened. But who are we to, like,
they're leaning hard on that stuff, the Patriots.
Who are
the science of it.
Who are we to judge it?
The Patriots say that they received written notice the day after the game that the league had made a preliminary finding that the Patriots may have tampered with the pressure of the footballs, and that is in their rebuttal proof that the league had already come to a conclusion of fault, and that's why the people that they hired to be their independent investigators were hired to prove this. To me, that says that they found enough evidence to launch an investigation.
Well, they tried to take the argument to explain the difference in the two balls, that we had the ball the whole first half, that the Colts were so bad in the game that our footballs were used three quarters more of the time than Indianapolis. And then they also brought up how in the pregame preparation it's outside. It's all just ridiculous.
The whole thing's ridiculous.
But see, they went. So
that was their argument to answer that question, though.
They haven't argued the sting operation, but Don Yee has argued that it was a sting operation in which they were set up. But then they said that they had a problem that despite the concerns expressed by the Colts prior to the game, the officials didn't write down the pregame PSI measurements, which if they had, that would lead me to believe that they saw fit to build a case. Because if you know that they're at 12.5 and all but two of them were at 12.5 when they measured them before the game, and then they just put a little bit more air in two of them so they measured out at 12.5. If you're the officials, all you really care about is, okay, so I'm keeping an eye on the balls to make sure that they're taken care of properly. If I know that they're 12.5 going into the game, I don't feel the need to build a legal case to back that up because I'm not sure that anyone's cheating.
This whole issue, this debate that we're having, it just goes to show that it's a trivial, very trivial thing that happened with no definitive conclusions, and that's my problem all along. How do you give somebody a four-game suspension, $1 million fine, and a first and fourth round draft picks when there are very few definitive conclusions?
How do we see this playing out? Because now you have Jeffrey Kessler involved.
It's going to be appealed, and I think eventually it'd end up in federal court.
It was appealed, so Tom Brady appealed it today in the
NFLPA. Let's stay focused on just the suspensions for Tom.
I think the suspension for Brady. If I'm just going to take a guess,
yeah,
I think that the Patriots, it's complex. Start with Brady. I think he gets down to one game.
Well, you can't answer the question until we.
We're just swinging for the fences.
My point is, Roger Goodell is the one that names the arbitrator.
He will name someone independent. He's not going to see it. I don't think he'll oversee it. You know how much heat he would get for that?
But he could name someone a little more in-house because it's his right to do
that
so.
That would be a bad move.
But it's in the CBA that he can do it, and that's how they've often done it throughout the NFL
but
history.
But doesn't Brady and his counsel then have the option to take it to federal court?
Well, they could go to court. That's separate from the suspension. I mean, the federal court's not going to talk about
goodbye offseason. That's my two words.
I think if we have a neutral arbitrator, the entire suspension will be wiped away.
Well,
I think the case is that weak.
And Goodell has to worry about that.
I agree with you for Brady.
He has to worry about that because, you know, they sent it to Paul Tagliabue. He wasn't so kind on the NFL. He sent it to, what's her name? Barbara Jones. She wasn't too kind to the NFL.
Babs.
So they got to be careful here who it goes to.
I think if they're smart, they send it right back to Barbara Jones or somebody who has ruled against them recently because at this point, just from a PR standpoint, I don't understand what the league had to gain from finding fault with the Patriots. To me, just as an outsider looking at this, I would have thought if they were going to sway this at all, if they were going to cheat this investigation, they would cheat it the other way, because this is a team that just won your largest game of the season, the game that everyone watches. He's the Super Bowl MVP. It makes it look like that game is tainted.
Right.
They have something to lose from the Patriots and Tom Brady being guilty, not the other way around.
The one thing that bubbled up today from some people was that where Goodell has gained respect, and this isn't coming from, you know, this is just whispers, from the 31 other teams and owners who thought he would favor the Patriots, and he went in the other direction, that some of the owners and teams feel that he did the right thing.
I think it gets upheld. I think there's enough in terms of the Patriots not working with the investigation. I think the whole idea that the NFL had something to gain from dragging the Patriots and specifically Tom Brady through the mud, I think they'll see through that as not something the NFL wanted, and I think it will be upheld. That's just my opinion.
I don't think there's enough there for Brady. Like, to me, they haven't connected the dots. Having read the Wells report,
I think he's being punished.
I think it'll get knocked down just because they didn't make a strong enough case. I hear what you're saying, but I think it'll get knocked down. Before we move on, I do have a couple other – the bigger picture points are more interesting to me than – I mean, it almost feels like talking back and forth about the – PSIs. It's almost like we're falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Like, we shouldn't be talking about this nonsense.
Patriots fan wants to bury
details.
No,
but there are a couple of big things here. One is that
away.
When is the last time an owner – I mean, this was the moment where the Patriots started going hard after the NFL. It is at a very interesting moment in a league that prides itself on all 32 teams – you know, collectively own everything. We all think about the greater good of the league. This is the most powerful or one of the most powerful owners going at
the guy
Roger
who
Goodell.
Ended the lockout.
Right. Exactly. The guy who got praised for ending the lockout is now challenging the authority of the NFL.
Is
That's
he
a
the
big,
new
pretty
Al
big
Davis?
Deal.
Where does this go? Does he become that guy?
They don't want that.
It's a pretty big deal for the NFL. It's bad news.
That's why
it's
so different, too, because Al Davis, we all know, was a cowboy, and he was kind of a renegade guy. Kraft isn't that guy.
He wears Air Force Ones.
Well, that's true.
To the White House.
That's a great point. In fact, I've been shut down completely by the Air Force on.
Boom.
But no, like, Kraft has never been that guy you would think would go outside the box like that.
No, he's the closest thing you get to an assistant commissioner among the owners.
It has to make Goodell feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's for a league that prides itself on the 32 owners are all speaking as one. It's a really bad moment. And then I wonder, you know, is it going to turn off casual fans at all? Maybe this
No, not at all.
Maybe this is overrating.
Maybe New England.
It's May. Absolutely not. The season will start. This stuff happens every year. If Ray Rice and everything else didn't turn fans off, this will not either.
I don't mean that the ratings are going to go off. For a league that's so concerned about PR, it's another.
If anything, people will just be hungrier for real football to begin because of this tedious nonsense that we're going to spend all season on.
I agree with Mark, but I also see what you're saying, that at a certain point there could be a tipping point, enough black eyes for the league. People are going to get turned off by the product.
Does it not take critical thinking for fans to get tired of this? I think the hysteria of the issue in the first place shows that there's not much critical thinking going on.
I'm basing it on my wife, really, who is my placeholder as a casual fan. She's not a Patriots fan at all, and she's vaguely annoyed by different things that have come up over the years, certainly, but this was one where it's just like she's saying this is the dumbest thing
it
I've
is the
ever
dumbest.
Seen. If everyone at the league office and everyone at the NFL Network and the Patriots and the lawyers, like, if you had all spent that time to do something productive instead of deflating a little football, like, how many tens of millions of dollars of productivity and money being flushed down the toilet for, like, a little deflation of football. It's just insane.
My barometer, my brother and my husband, and they feel the exact same way.
An excellent point. I think that the rest of the world is reporting this story and looking at the story so much different. And we're going to look back in 10 or 15 years and say, are you kidding me that this much was made out of this story?
I have almost never been asked to do like a radio hit in London, but they one of the talk radio stations
almost.
There.
Almost. That means they're having multiple.
Yeah. But I'm just saying. But
did you
I'm
do
just
it
saying,
with an accent?
I did it this week, and they were baffled. I mean, that was the word they were used. They were trying to get me to explain.
I don't understand what's going on with the footballs.
Right.
And the deflation.
Well, why would they do it? I was trying to explain
that, like,
it in normal normal
I
terms.
Like, Greg seamlessly builds his own brand in the middle of the podcast.
Can we move on, Greg?
No. That's it.
So you get an Emmy Award.
Greg's sonic billboard has been erected. You ready? Let's move on.
Phrasing.
all right. So
TD's on fire today.
Okay. Yes, TD, you're doing great. Five mics just right off the top. And now you're rolling with the drops. And away we go.
He's engaged this time. It must be because Lindsay's here.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. We need Lindsay here for you to pay attention.
We have a fellow Emmy Award winner.
We need a Lindsay hologram that just sits here. all right. So speaking of Lindsay, the top 100 players of 2015 countdown is back. It launched last week with the first 10 players. And then on Wednesday night, we got the next 10 players. So 20 have been revealed, going all the way to number one. And I don't know. How do you want to get into this? Let me just go down. I'm going to go down the list real quick. Randall Cobb at 100, Calais Campbell, Adam Vinatieri, Joe Flacco, Jarrell Casey, Emmanuel Sanders, C.J. Mosley, Jason Witten, Aaron Donald, Julian Edelman, Michael Bennett at 90, Greg Olson, Glover Quinn, DeMarcus Ware, Eric Weddle, Golden Tate, Terrell Suggs, Marquise Pouncey, Haloti Ngata, and Darren Sproles at number 81. That's where we're at so far. And Greg, I'm going to start with you on this. Actually, before we do that, Lindsay.
You got the expert here.
Yeah, I want to just ask Lindsay, how long have you been doing this countdown now?
Since it started, which was 2011.
Wow. Okay. So what are your thoughts about the top 100 countdown in a macro sense?
That's a really wide-ranging question.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. Not a compliment.
I think it's always interesting to see how the players view their peers and how it changes from year to year. I think one of the things that I thought in year one was that it might not fluctuate that much from year to year. And so how do you have sustainability if it's kind of the same names over and over again? But like, oh, Peyton's number three, but this year he's number four. You know, right. It's like, is there much debate involved with that? But there has been a lot of turnover from year to year. You have something, I don't know what it is this year. I want to say it's like 40 players that are new to the list, which means that 40 players that were on the list are no longer on it. And I think that the first handful of weeks are probably some of the better shows. They're not the bigger names. But once you get towards the top of the list, because I'm nerdy, I could pretty much tell you, like, okay, here's who's left. Here are the 20 names. I've done the math. There's 12 quarterbacks. There's 19 wide receivers. There's, I think, 11 running backs. It's like you could make a list right now and figure out kind of who they are, especially once you start knocking some of them off. I think we've had four wide receivers that have come up so far, so I've got my list of 19.
You're counting the cards.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even if you're not counting the cards, once you get to 20, you're like, okay, so J.J. Watt, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. I mean, anybody can rattle
and
off the people that
it
they
should
think
be
probably
said,
there.
Lindsay does not know.
I do not. That's an important
That's
point.
The fascinating part of it, to do the show that way.
Well, you guys know, because you're by my desk, that I spend the next 10 – I spend 10 weeks with, like, my fingers in my ears in the newsroom, and I get very angry if anything is tipped off to me, like legitimately angry, because we go on this reaction show and you not only are reacting to the 10 names that were just revealed, but you're sort of trying to figure out what it means for the list moving forward, and you can't have these conversations and have them be legitimate, organic, fun conversations if you know the answers, if you're faking it.
Lindsay sits right next to us, and what we get we have to write up posts that we roll out right when the list goes live. So we'll sometimes get a look at it before Lindsay sees it unveil. So it's created some tension, let's face it, within the dynamic of around the NFL and Lindsay Rhodes.
What's the dumbest player ranking you've ever seen on this list?
Jimmy Graham wasn't on it too.
Oh, yeah.
Years
yeah.
Ago.
Yep. Yep.
That's that easily dumb.
I mean, we've been writing about the show as long as it's been on the air, and we've sometimes raged against the list for that very reason. Something, I think Julio Jones got left off.
Last year.
Aaron Rodgers not in the top 10 last year.
And then even things like even DeMarcus Ware, he drops 31 spots. Joe Flacco is all over the list. So there's, if nothing else, it's great for debate. And
there's a kicker on the list this year.
Joe Flacco ranks one spot ahead of a kicker.
Right, and Vinatieri's not even the best kicker in the league at all, is he?
Last year he was pretty damn good, but still.
He doesn't do kickoffs.
Ranks below him.
Well, at one point, Flacco was in the top 30 or so coming off the Super Bowl. And the weird thing is he's a better quarterback now than he was then.
So is Eli Manning, and I would bet that Eli is ranked lower now than he was.
No, Eli Manning's not on this list. I don't know that for a fact.
Because he's a few years removed. The further you are from your Super Bowl is directly proportional to your ranking.
The thing is, they give us random clues, and that's, you know, with me, I almost have to be careful. Like, because yesterday they gave us too many clues, and it gave away one of the players. Like, they said, we knew that there was one center on the list, one One player that dropped 58 spots, one player from Notre Dame. Then I saw that NFL media's PR department had tweeted out a former defensive player of the year was on the list. And I was like, well, there was a former defensive player of the year who happened to fall in that 10-name range that would be one of the 58 players who could possibly have dropped that or one of the 10 players that could have possibly dropped.
Right.
58 spots.
Yeah.
And so I was like, before the show went on, just based on those clues, you knew it was Sizzle.
To Wes's point about the value of a Super Bowl win, not just for the quarterback especially, but really any of the players that are on that Super Bowl run. Terrell Suggs has taken a dive since he won a Super Bowl. But also Joe Flacco is a great example. And he's been on the list all 5 years now. 90, 74, 18 after he won the Super Bowl. So he was a top 20 player as of 2 years ago. 58 and then now 97. So he's
although
been
97 might be right.
Yeah, well, the first in the last year, 90 and 97, that feels like they might have it.
I think it shows you too that the players we can sit around
Wes
and stare at. Well, we can stare at metric sites all day long and watch our own game tape. These guys play against these players, and I think there is some amount of reverence for what Flacco did during that Super Bowl run. That's fresh off people watching him go on a 3 or 4 game hot streak that was outrageous. And maybe they thought, he's turned the corner, he's a new guy, he just won the Super Bowl, that's a ton of respect from players. And then, you know, nothing since. It's close. And so he drops, he tumbles.
He played awesome in the elimination game last year.
I made a face because you can say what you want about these numbers in May, say he deserves to be 97. Come January, you're scared to death of facing Joe Flacco.
And
your Patriots are scared to death of facing Joe Flacco.
Your P scale is at 7 to 9 at least.
He was definitely not
Flacco's
the reason
the
they lost. If they
but
had
the
a
thing
halfway
is,
decent defense.
Also, so he's the 12th ranked quarterback because he was the first one revealed and there are 12 quarterbacks on the
Sounds
list.
Sounds about right.
If sure. The way that they do the voting for this is they hand a player a list with 20 open spots and they say, tell me who your 20 best players are in the league. And those, you know, one is weighted more than 20. Mm. So who's putting Joe Flacco in their 20 right now?
Well, who's
That's
putting Darren Sproles? He's 81 on the list. Like, Darren Sproles gets 700 yards every year. I mean, I like Darren Sproles, but...
Think about that. I think he had at least one primetime Sunday night game
early.
Where he went nuts.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's all it takes. And that's not just the football players. That happens with AP voters all the time. You know, being on primetime a lot can help you.
But that means so someone weighted a Sproles or someone else very, very high, higher than he should have been.
Probably.
And he lands on this list because of not voter fraud, but like weird voting, weird decisions by these players.
All right, Greg.
Possibly.
Every year there's a WTF moment. Okay, of course, there was the famous Charles Clay, number 100 a couple years ago. Dennis Pitta.
He was in the 80s, was Clay.
Yeah. Oh, Clay. Pitta was 100, I believe. And now this year, coming in at number 88.
Glover Quinn. But I disagree with you.
I'm with Lindsay on this.
I've come back on it after my initial reaction.
Walk it back, Greg.
I am. I don't. I think if you were taking your best 100 players in the NFL, there's no way Glover Quinn would be one of your
first
100.
He made the Pro Bowl.
He did make the Pro Bowl, but he is coming off of a good season. Leading the NFL in interceptions is not a sign you're a good player. A lot of people lead the league in interceptions. Doesn't really
Tommy cheated.
I wrote an article last November when Cam Chancellor was injured saying that Glover Quinn and James Ahedebo are rivaling them for the best safety pair in the
He's
NFL.
He's coming off a good
He
season.
Was playing that well at the time, and I think it's easy to look back in January or May and say, who's Glover Quinn?
Well, I think of it as 2015, not 2014. So that was partly what I'm thinking. It's like, no one, if you're asking GMs to pick 100 players, I don't think anyone of the 30 are taking Glover
I don't think
Glover
anyone's
Quinn.
Taking a 42-year-old kicker either.
The problem for you, Greg, is you put this
Lifetime
in print,
achievement award.
And it's there forever.
Yeah.
Well, you're stuck with this. So you can change it here, but it doesn't mean anything.
Like your article on Lockus.
We all have articles we wish didn't exist. All right, let's do, before we move on, the top five. Let's guess our top five. Lindsay, you can recuse
can
yourself from
one?
This if you want
oh,
to do it.
No,
or you want to
oh,
do it.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if you're allowed to.
The, myself for sure.
The
I,
bylaws of the top no, 100 game.
Are we all guessing right. our top five or We're, saying who we think should be?
Who you think are the top five players of 2015. And you know, same rules as on the show. It's not really who had the best season, just who right now.
Who do I
do
want
I have
to
right,
enter
Lindsay?
The 2015
right
season
now.
With?
You've seen the promo that airs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All
Not
right.
the Kristen Cavallari commercial, but the promo.
Oh. Well, actually, while you bring it up, you are a big fan of
Pinterest?
Cavallari.
Oh.
And
well, it's
Pinterest.
Not so much No, it's not so much that I'm not a fan of Cavallari. I think that commercial isn't maybe her best work.
You don't find
No Dick Butkus?
Wait, the chemistry between
Cavallari was.
Her and Butkus, that chemistry is just electric. I disagree.
What was it?
Tough guy, huh? Wow.
That sounds like you guys grew up in the same area.
You know what? It's funny we did. No, that's not funny.
Where did you grow up, Lindsay? In L.A.?
I grew up in Lake Forest, which is the city that's just inland of Laguna Beach.
So pretty close.
So we're practically the same person.
Could be worse. I like Kristen Cavallari.
I share DNA.
I don't know who she is. Not dislike Kristen Cavallari. I just that commercial great.
I've seen that ad 70 times. I have no idea what she's talking about when she says game.
No,
she goes game day glam. What is that?
It's
what
Pinterest, bro.
What is game day glam?
It's she's looking on Pinterest for ideas and dishes and things. That's what Pinterest is.
When we sell the podcast, can you make sure you sell it as Rhodes Slams Cavallari?
Please don't.
All right. I almost called you Kristen. Lindsay, what are your top five players of 2015?
Yeah, as soon as I argued my way into this conversation, I realized I don't have that list organized yet.
Mm-hmm. Do you want us to come back to you?
All I know is that Rogers is number one, yep. And I would put Watt number two.
That's I think far I agree. Does everyone agree with the 1-2?
Yes. No.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, hey-o.
I'll put what? I ended last season. It says the best players, not the most valuable players. So in terms of how great he is as a great player, it's not the guy, you know, I'm starting my team with, but a J.J. Watt. He's the best player. He's been the best player I've ever seen.
I disagree. I think Aaron Rodgers is the best player.
I
wish the people listening could have seen Greg just.
I was getting excited.
Well, we deal with this all the time.
Usually we don't like that song, but this time it proved my point.
I can't get on Greg. Watt is historically dominant in his position, but Aaron Rodgers at the same level is doing the same thing and only in a more important position. So I got to go with the.
I have Watt fifth.
It's not the most valuable.
What?
Well, you did the same thing last year.
Well,
you went all quarterbacks.
Well, it doesn't change the way I feel. Like I don't care about any other position. I have four quarterbacks and then J.J. Watt.
To me, the Watt is better at what he does by far than what Rodgers is that he is. In terms
by
of
far.
But that's how you get a kicker in
group.
The top
yes.
100.
Who's the next closest quarterback in the NFL?
Right now?
Yeah. The
Brady
one who's suspended for four games?
Brady and Luck.
Oh. Too soon.
Rodgers, look, I love Luck, you know that, but Rodgers is way better than him.
I think Watt to who's the next guy behind Watt?
Ndamukong Suh?
No.
So over quarterbacks?
So
over
Leonard Williams?
Oh, no, you're talking
defensive
about
defensive lineman.
You're talking at his position.
So I'm going Watt, then A-Rod.
All right. What?
I got fired up and thought you were putting him in the top five.
The rest of your top five, do you have it for us?
I don't have an order. Okay. I think DeMarco Murray is pretty high this year.
Ooh.
Right?
Interesting.
Coming off the year he
juicy.
Had.
Juicy.
Brady Payton, the quarterbacks do go heavy at the top.
Mark, your
I
list.
Think those two will be up there somewhere.
Who are your four quarterbacks?
I go Rodgers.
Yeah.
He is far and high above all the rest. Number two, I go Brady. I just love Tom Brady.
Okay.
Big Ben, number three. Andrew Luck, number four. J.J. Watt, number five.
Wes?
Best player. Who do I want to go in the 2015 season with?
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Gronk.
Oh, Gronk. That's right.
Adrian Peterson, Odell Beckham.
See, I thought I would be.
I knew Beckham would be on your list.
Of course.
And that's
he was
fine.
The most unstoppable player.
I'll tell you what.
I like that list.
Here's my top five.
That's
and I thought about Beckham. I thought about Dez Bryant. I wanted to put a wide out, but I went with someone else. Aaron Rodgers, one. J.J. Watt, two. Tom Brady, three. Andrew Luck, four. Julio Jones, five. I heard a stat on Julio Jones yesterday.
No chance Julio Jones.
Well, we're not trying to predict
it.
We're saying
just
our guy.
Oh, okay.
You think Julio will make the list this year?
For sure.
He better.
I have Watt. You go Watt first, Rodgers second.
Wow.
Adrian Peterson third. And in these lists, they never recognize the guys who weren't there last year, so he might not even be on the list. You know, he's going to get buried.
I give credence to the chip on the shoulder factor.
But he should just – he is the next greatest player.
But
by the way, Greg, you've just built the Houston Texans over the Green Bay Packers. Have a nice time with that.
I'm going to go who's next? Brady next, and Le'Veon Bell maybe let's throw in as number five.
You got the all-suspended team.
The all-suspended
team. That's a good one. That's a good one. I think Lynch, Marshawn.
Yeah.
Three of your players have been or will have been suspended in the last 12 months.
He's probably never – I don't know how high he was last
40s.
Year.
That's my MMO.
I don't know, but I think this has got to be his highest year.
Who?
I would
don't
put him
think
high.
The way that they ended the season, Marshawn Lynch – proved how valuable he was, how much he changed.
The guy that would have won the Super Bowl for him if they had given
Gronk
him the ball.
Really should be in the top five, actually. But I'd take out Bell.
One thing about Peterson, I know generational player and all that, but he wasn't that great. We get on LeSean McCoy and say he was over the hill or heading that direction because he didn't have a great season last year. Look at Adrian Peterson's season before he got suspended. It wasn't
Look at the season
close.
Before that.
Okay, we can do the same thing with LeSean McCoy and then say they should have never done
Peterson's
that trade.
Peterson's way better than McCoy.
If you that year, though, his numbers were misleading because of the team he was on and the quarterback he was playing with. When you watched him, he still looked like the best,
he carried,
best running back
that,
in the league.
The team the year before when he ran for 2,000 yards, he carried that team the same way.
I thought he looked great. I thought people that were talking about his demise that next season weren't watching.
All
he
I'm
was
saying,
the best
30 years old, out of the league for a full year, not
Fresh
coming
legs,
off that.
Chip on
maybe.
Shoulder.
I'm just saying, I got to see it again. I guess I'm going to get proven wrong by Peterson 2 years in a row. We'll see what happens.
Lindsay, who do you got then?
You got two more, three more on the list.
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, did you put him in?
Well, I don't know about the order. I'm sorry.
First it was my nickname, and now it's the top five.
I know. I'm failing you. So, Rodgers, Watt. I like your Le'Veon, actually. I might kick DeMarco Murray out.
Mm.
But DeMarco just had such a good season.
I could see him getting overrated on this list.
Incredibly overrated.
Yeah. I wouldn't put him in my top 40.
He wasn't playing that well by the end of the year.
Okay, then I'm going to put Brady 3.
I like that.
And then I'm definitely not going OBJ that high.
You're lost.
I'll go Lynch 4,
mm-hmm.
And then I'll go Peyton 5 still.
Mm.
Respect for the old timer.
I think the players in the league, when you just ask around, regardless of how he finished the season, they all think that Peyton's a game changer or one of the best ever, and still is.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. That's our top 100 talk. And every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Lindsay Rhodes, the host, counting it down all the way to number one. You better watch.
You better.
Because that would be not cool if you didn't. It's
next,
good programming.
Next week's list includes, and this is 80-71, two quarterbacks and one rookie.
Let's figure this out. Two quarterbacks. Who are the two quarterbacks? And
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's got to be one.
It's boom.
Why?
That's my guess.
Well, it just seems
it's
like it's the next
he won't be
line.
Top eight. He'll probably be like in that 10-11 region.
Stafford, maybe?
I don't think Stafford's going to make it.
I'd be surprised if he did. My vote is Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Cam and Matt Ryan.
There's only one way to find out. You got to tune into NFL Network next Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Well,
Eastern,
actually, I have
8 p.m. Central.
The rookie.
I actually have it right here. I can just tell you.
You know what? You're making things weird, Greg.
Stop it, Greg.
I'm going to go with Khalil Mack as the rookie.
Don't make me pull your hair.
I'll tell you if you're right.
Khalil
or wrong.
Mack, that's a good one, Wes. I agree with Wes. All right, let's move on. Finally, let's get into it. A rising game within the culture around the NFL. Some people call it what's your fancy, but the real people call it ¿Cuál es tu fantasía? Do you want to try it, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got it.
Well,
sorry. I thought you were asking me if I wanted to play the game. Okay, while the music's still playing. ¿Cuál es tu fantasía?
It's good.
Fantasía.
That's pretty good for a rookie.
Fun to say.
So really, it's a fancy way. It's like an either or game. So We'll go around the horn here and each throw out a scenario, and then we all decide which either or, what's your fancy? ¿Cuál es tu fantasía? And we'll start. I'll get it going.
The creepiest Spanish-speaking individual I've ever listened to.
¿Cuál es tu fantasía?
I once tried the German translation, remember? It was Was in Gelfalt.
Don't try to take over the world.
Our Alex Drawick, one of our photographers downstairs, she knows French. So I said, it'd be great to get somebody saying it in French. And she declined. She's like, all right.
Smart move by her.
Listen, you don't want to be involved?
She's not going to be exploited. She's a multi-language speaker, and she's not going to be exploited on the podcast.
All right.
Well, I was French club president.
Cool. Really? Well, say it.
I don't know. It's been 20 years since. I don't know how to say fantasy in French.
All right,
I can just imagine those meetings.
Fancy.
Wes is running.
A lot of crepes.
What's going on out there? It's like, can we drink?
All right.
I was like 17.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
All right, here we go. You are Reggie McKenzie. Now, let that soak in for a second.
Wow.
You're writing Star Wars fan fiction in your study when the phone rings.
Right, now you're going the Sessler route.
Oh, let's have some fun with it.
I like it.
It's Robert Kraft. The Pats owner explains that he's had an awakening and now realizes his team's continued Deflategate fight will cause permanent damage to the brand if it goes any further. He repeatedly utters, "I need to blow it up. I need to blow it up," over and over again. It's actually a little weird. He then offers a trade that causes you to spit out your drink. Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, and a 2016 first-round pick in exchange for Tom Brady. Kraft is manic. He's jumpy. He's on edge. He says, "Take it or leave it right now. If you wait 30 more seconds," hanging up this phone, and this conversation never happened.
Well, let's do Fantasia.
Mark.
I do it.
You're taking
Tom Brady. You suddenly have a franchise quarterback in a division.
A gutter team, 38-year-old quarterback, one of the best ever.
An excellent defender in Khalil Mack, an unknown in Amari Cooper, probably a great wide receiver.
Well, you're trading him.
You can find that down the road. You've got Tom Brady for another couple seasons. I'd do it.
Wes.
You'd do it if you're Reggie McKenzie, you're saying. I guess that's the only option.
Well, all right. I think it's enough if I'm writing Star Wars fan fiction.
I'm trying to understand it.
Yeah, you're the GM.
In this exercise, I am pulling the trigger.
Wes.
You know how I feel about franchise quarterbacks, but you can't do this if you're Reggie McKenzie. Tom Brady's 38 years old, one bad hit, and you just lost Khalil Mack, a first-round pick, and did you say Amari Cooper?
And a future first-round.
Right. You just lost all of that talent, and one hit could end Tom Brady's career at this point.
And you'll never be a GM again if this move blows up.
Reggie McKenzie's never going to be a GM again anyway.
That's why I do it.
Exactly.
Derek Carr, we don't know how good he could be once he has a legitimate
Hypothetically, you keep him
set of
on the bench. You give him 2 years behind Brady, and then you put him in. He's 25 or 26.
And he doesn't have anyone to throw to, and he doesn't have a first-round pick next year to bring in more. And I say no.
He could have replaced Brady with Manning at this point last year, and then look where you'd be now, not knowing whether your quarterback can throw anymore.
Mm-hmm. Greg?
I take it. I do the deal.
I always like when it's 2-3 or 2-2.
Because like you said, Wes, he's never going to be a GM anyways. I don't think they have any hope with what they have now, and he's going to be out there. You add Tom Brady to your team, that's pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah. And you never know what you never know.
Convincing.
Well, we've killed them for everything they've done up to now, so this would be something that we can't kill him on.
Well, Wes would, apparently. Well,
anyway.
I think that's a pretty convincing point that at least you could compete for a division title if Tom Brady
I know this was such a good one. I know we aren't supposed to do this, but what if we flipped it around? Would you make that trade if you were Robert Kraft?
Yes.
You would?
If you like Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
No.
Well, Belichick has made a history of getting rid of his quarterbacks before they
If you're Robert Kraft, you're in the Super Bowl window.
I had to think hard about it. I don't think it's a crazy thing to do, but I would lean no.
You're winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. You're not winning a Super Bowl with Jimmy G.
You never know.
That's not what Damashek thinks.
That's what they
Mark.
Once said about a guy named Tom Brady.
Oh. When Greg
They're
is,
not the same person.
Greg and
Wes
from the scientists are done.
Greg thinks he's getting a double rainbow over Foxborough Stadium.
I just want you guys to do all the quality.
Can we make the point that Garoppolo and Brady are not the same quarterback, even though one is replacing the other just as Brady replaced Bledsoe? Because I think a lot of people in the country don't understand that.
Very true. They'll know after a month of Jimmy Garoppolo, though.
I wonder which supermodel he'll marry.
Yeah.
Tara Reid's still available.
All right.
I'm just saying, former Brady girl.
Podcast totally off the rails. Shall we?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Your life goes in one of two directions. One, over the next decade, your favorite team will win the Super Bowl 10 straight times. In each of those 10 years, you will also be given a $200,000 stipend and not be required to work another hour. Your life is all about travel, family, friendship, art, leisure, pleasure. Whatever you want it to be. You have no material concerns. But on the first day of the 11th year, you are abducted by alien visitors. You will endure whatever comes with that and never see the Earth again. Or your football team never wins more than 3 games in a season ever again, and you must work in a tuna fish factory for as long as you live.
All right. How wait?
What in the world? Those are the most absurd scenarios ever.
Welcome to Mark's version of the game. Wait, how long are you abducted
like crappy
for?
Crappy and crappier.
Welcome to Mark's
You have
brain.
10 years of absolute bliss. Everything goes right.
Oh, yeah, no, I got that, but how long are you abducted
You're
for?
You're gone.
Forever.
The rest of your life.
Oh. Of course I'm going to have a crappy football team and work at the tuna shop.
All right.
I'm sticking with
you. You take all the football permutations out of this for me. I don't care about my team winning.
I
or
know.
Losing.
I like that you threw
but
that
if,
in there.
If I'm getting 10 years of bliss, like absolute bliss, give me the bliss, baby. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years? I could die at 51. You never know.
That's a fair point.
Give me the bliss. I want the guarantee.
I got you. I got you, Wes.
there wasn't anything in the tuna fish factory scenario that implied that you were miserable.
Well, no. You're not – all right, but you're not like working here anymore. You'd work the rest of your life in a
But you still have your family, your husband,
yes,
your
wife.
Yes,
what you have are the simple comforts, but you live
you
a low-level existence.
You know, your family is not a simple comfort.
Well, I'm just saying.
I like how you're downplaying
the you have the
of,
basic
like, love and affection.
You're learning
you
a lot about Mark right now.
Yeah,
you really are, because the money and the travel, that's not going to make you happy.
Well, you could leave that for your family, too.
You could get caught in the canning machine and come out in 250 pieces.
Or you could work your way up and find something interesting about the tuna factory.
There you
and,
go. You could run
knows?
That joint.
See, I think it would
What's
be cool
interesting
to
about
be,
a tuna factory?
Well, nothing. Maybe this all comes down, you know, to religion, you know, if you just believe, if you're not into the afterlife, I want to add on more than 10 years.
Oh, the
you know
theology
I mean?
Podcast. Thanks for reminding me.
It'd be
me,
different actually. If you were like a fisherman of tuna.
Yeah, but that sounds fun.
I know. That's why I said we did.
I go alien
yeah,
abduction
would be cool.
Because it would be cool to see what happens during.
Yeah,
an
but
alien
then
abduction.
They're probing you. Was, that's a nightmare.
That's an assumption. We don't know that.
That's like a 1950s trope.
Mark,
we don't
if,
know that.
Yeah, but how
if
do we
you're
know?
Answering this question, how big of a factor is the football to you? Because I feel like as a Browns
really
fan, it would be a
no,
it would be a bigger
football,
factor
the
than
football
you.
Football was almost like a throw on. It was like it
because
was,
this is a football.
It was leading you into all these things going right for you.
Can I be honest with you? 10 straight Super Bowls doesn't even sound that great to me. Honestly, give me three. If you win 10 in a row, I'm sure by the fifth one, it wouldn't feel that great anymore.
Well, I'd be willing to test that theory.
I think here's something that people are losing sight of. If the aliens find us before we find them, they're more likely to be an enlightened people. And you're with more enlightened people. They don't want to probe you. They just want to...
I like that you're an optimist when it comes to an alien invasion.
Good.
I wouldn't even call it an invasion.
You're
a visit.
Gambler.
All right. Your turn, Wes.
Oh, okay.
I just want you guys to read yours. They're so good. But
I think Wes has got a good one.
Wes is going to have a hammer dropper.
Basically, mine's terrible.
You guys are getting called up from NFL now. You're getting the call from AAA to the majors. You're on total access, but here's the deal. You've got to go shirtless for your whole segment on total access. First time in front of the nation, you got to go shirtless. Millions and millions of people across the world, or... NFL gumshoe Ted Wells will look into your background and prepare a 243-page report on your background. Mm. And he's taking your phone.
Oh.
Now,
neither scenario really bothers me that much, but I'll go on TV shirtless.
I'll do the shirtless.
Yeah,
I would
like to
that.
Be in better physical condition for this national television debut, but at the same time, like, you know.
That's the thing. You don't get gym time. You got to go like you are.
You know, it's better than somebody poking through my life.
Yeah, I wouldn't be into a long investigation on my background.
Not that I have, like, a you know, bodies in my backyard or anything, but still, that feels like a violation to me.
It's probably how Tom Brady felt, too.
I think my takeaway here is
I'd
Wes,
hand over my cell phone.
Wes is ashamed of his body. That's
I didn't answer the question.
To the four. Oh, yeah. Why don't you answer?
I don't have to. I came up with it.
All right.
Lindsay, you don't have to answer that.
I want you to read yours. Yours are
for
better.
The record,
yours are better.
I'll take the Wells.
all right. Mark, do you have one more? Let's do one more with Mark.
Okay, so you are starting an NFL team. You can have Ndamukong Suh on this team. This is how you start your team. You have Ndamukong Suh, J.J. Watt, Tyron Smith, Travis Kelce, and Vontae Davis, plus Matt Cassel has to be your quarterback for the next 5 years. Or you can have just Andrew Luck.
I'll take Luck. No brainer
wait,
for me.
Matt Cassel for the next 5 years?
5 years with the rest of those players.
Okay,
I
wait.
Mentioned.
Suh, Watt, Kelce?
Your starting quarterback?
Suh, Watt, Tyron Smith.
Oh.
Foundational left tackle, Travis Kelce, and Vontae Davis.
Yeah, I take that scenario.
I'll take Luck.
I'm going to take Luck, too.
I would take Luck.
Just because
I wouldn't trade Luck for 15 first-round picks.
Matt Cassel's also 33 or whatever. You're stuck with him for 5 years. That's just so – and I love Matt Cassel.
He's crappy
relatively.
Now. Just imagine how much crappier he's going to get in 5 years.
My question was similar. Maybe I'll do one. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mine was simple. See, I felt intimidated by all of yours. Just a simple one. Would you rather have the Seahawks defense and all the contracts that come with it? You get the whole defense. Or you get Ben Roethlisberger.
Defense.
All the contracts, though. That I'm just gravy saying, ship is gravy train is about to.
I'll take the Seahawks.
This show is. I just think maybe it's rooting for a team that hasn't had a quarterback since like 1989, but I go Roethlisberger.
It doesn't mean you have a bad defense. Yeah, you might not have a bad defense. You might have a good. You can build a good defense.
Big Ben's, 33 now?
Yeah.
I got about five more years.
It's so much easier to build a team when you have that quarterback, though.
I got another one.
All right, go ahead.
I'm feeling like all of my choices might have been wrong.
There are no right or wrong answers in Qualis tu Fantasia.
I'm questioning.
All right, Qualis tu Fantasia.
Yeah, everybody's got to be thrown into Qualis tu Fantasia.
Pep Hamilton said yesterday that the Colts offense is now the greatest shoe on earth in reference to the horseshoe.
Cute, Pep.
Mike McCarthy said earlier in the offseason, if the Packers click right, they could be the best offense in football history. Mike Tomlin said, my expectation is the Steelers will have the very best offense in the NFL. Qualis tu Fantasia. Colts, Packers, or Steelers offense?
Good one. I like the Packers. I feel like they would have set the scoring record last year if the teams could hang with them even a little bit. They would have dropped to 550 or five. What is the record? 550 or so? Anyway, they could average 35 points a week and drop 50 burgers whenever they want, in my opinion.
Packers haven't improved. The Colts kind of have.
Well, the Packers kept Cobb, and had they lost him, I would have think differently potentially, but I go Packers too.
Lynch.
I go Packers.
I would go Colt.
Mm.
I don't like the fact they're a dome team. That's the only thing that bothers me a little bit. You know, they got to go outside the dome. Those games count. But the potential of what's going to happen this season with that Colts offense, I could see it just blowing anything the Packers have ever done out of the water.
All right, one more. I'll do this one. You ready? Jerry Jones is almost finished talking himself into his crappy backfield when there's a knock at the door. It's Vikings GM Rick Spielman, soaking wet after getting caught in one of those classic Texas rainstorms. Rick, get in here. I'll put on a pot of coffee. Over Java and Danish, think every episode of Golden Girls, Spielman explains that he's ready to move Adrian Peterson to Dallas, his preferred destination. The cost? Dez Bryant.
Qual es tu fantasia?
I'm keeping Dez Bryant.
Yeah, no, not a hard one for me.
Really?
I'm keeping Dez Bryant.
So it's basically
for sure.
Bryant for Adrian Peterson. Straight
up.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
Yeah.
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 And you're dealing with, you got Dez's contract stuff you got to deal with.
I already got a 1,000-yard rusher in Darren McFadden. I don't need Adrian Peterson.
They wouldn't even give up a first-round pick.
Right. I'm kind of factoring in that there seems to be some fire brewing between the Cowboys and Dez, too.
I wouldn't do it. Suddenly got Cole Beasley. You're leaning on him to be a major, you know, guy through the air.
All right. How about this? I'm going to send Charles Johnson the other way, too.
Ooh.
Now I got you.
Is that even?
I got Cecil's.
Dez?
No, I wouldn't, because you're not talking about Adrian Peterson at age 25.
Dez is just entering his prime.
Weren't we just having this argument where everybody was saying to get all in on Adrian Peterson?
I wasn't.
Yeah, but not for Dez, because I'm hoping I have Dez for the rest of his career.
Yes, you get all in on Adrian Peterson. He's going for 2,000.
Plus, you have a sopping wet Rick Spielman in your kitchen.
Get in here, Rick.
That sounds uncomfortable. It's a little strange.
Put on some coffee.
That's the one I feel the most strongly about. Of all the scenarios, I feel strongly in my conviction.
Even more than the abduction, the alien abduction?
Yes, but that one I do also feel strongly about.
I was just curious what you guys think about
that. Would be number 2 on my top 100
scenario count.
Well, it's too fun.
That rainstorm is called a Dallas toad strangler.
Classic toad strangler.
These scenarios really tell us a lot about our subconscious. Mark goes to the aliens. Dan goes to Rick Spielman wet.
I went
soaking.
To you
little
guys.
Weird.
I went to
weird.
You guys shirtless.
That's true too. There's a lot to digest. All right, that's it. For today's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. You know what? We have, I don't know, the report card?
The report card.
I forgot about the report card. How silly of me.
You don't like the report card.
Yeah.
I didn't, listen, the only issue I have with the report card is that I'm trying to host the show, so, like, I'm trying to throw it around and facilitate a little bit. I can't, like.
Well, it's all great.
It's such a hard
out.
That should score you points.
Give him some respect.
I take that into consideration.
Okay.
All right, with all that said, though, today's podcaster of the show or player of the game, if you haven't quite figured it out, is I got to go with Lindsay, man. I mean.
All right, I'm with that.
You know, she showed, we all agree with that.
You know, she showed off quick wit there, pointing out Robert Kraft and the Air Force Ones. That was good. Great point. Pull back the curtain.
This is really happening, Lindsay.
Yeah, she pulled back the curtain on how a professional like herself works when she talks about the top 100 reactions. She wants no spoilers. She goes into it fresh. It's kind of like method acting, you know? That's what came to mind. And great insight there on what players around the league think about Peyton Manning. You know, because, you know, there's one soundbite in NFL Films that says,
Wait, is this still going on?
Are you still, talking?
Still going on?
Still,
last point.
Tell me, you guys, if you could pipe down. He has more to say.
That's a great point there, because NFL Films Presents intro says, you're talking about a living legend right now. That's a player talking about Peyton Manning.
Uh-huh.
So you know. And lastly, qu'est-ce que votre fantaisie? I took French in
high school. Wait, say that again.
All right, you saved yourself there.
Your pronunciation is way off.
Way off.
Say it again, though. I want
to
hear
it. You have to call me out. Oh. Leave me.
Oh, sorry.
French club president says garbage.
qu'est-ce que votre fantaisie?
All right.
Ventre.
Hey, if anybody wants – I got an idea. If you know how to send sound files to our Twitter account, send it through different languages – what's your fancy?
Ooh,
and we'll play him on the show.
Perfect.
Look at you guys getting all interactive.
By the way, how does that? I might have surged past Lindsay with that. Sorry, voting's not closed.
That was pretty decent.
Voting's not closed.
It came after the fact.
Okay. All right, put that towards
next show, Dan. Next show.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay, for coming on, coming into the office. That was very kind of you, and giving us great insight. Top 100 countdown every Wednesday, 9 p.m. on NFL Network. Stan Hands is signing off. Four. Quiet Storm, the mailman, Lindsay Rhodes, we need a nickname for Lindsay, the boss, Tady behind the glass, Brandon too, also behind the glass. Till next week.